Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Biden has warned Israel that the U.S. would not support an attack on Rafah in Gaza. He tells CNN,
I made it clear that if they go into Rafah, they haven't gone into Rafah yet. If they go into Rafah, I'm not supplying the weapons that have been used historically to deal with Rafah, to deal with the cities, to deal with that.
He says he deplores the fact that civilians had been killed by the dropping of U.S. bombs. The president also says that the U.S. will continue to make sure Israel is secure in terms of Iron Dome and their ability to respond to attacks. Contentious testimony in a House subcommittee hearing on how the heads of three of the nation's largest school districts are dealing with anti-Semitism in K through 12 schools.
Republican Utah Representative Burgess Owens and Montgomery County Public Schools Board President Carla Silvestre sparred on whether teachers or administrators who allow anti-Semitism are paying the price.
Are we getting rid of any of these people? Or just taking action, or other actions?
Disciplinary action has been taken on all of those cases.
Okay, and but they're not being fired.
Ranking Member Suzanne Bonamici says more must be done, adding that Islamophobia also must be addressed. Allison Keyes, CBS News, Washington.
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene attempts to oust Speaker Mike Johnson.
The office of the Speaker of the House of Representatives is hereby declared to be vacant.
CBS's Nicole Killian reports.
She went forward with that motion to vacate, but it was quickly slapped down by House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, who introduced a motion to table. And so because of that, her motion was not successful.
Speaker Johnson says he appreciates the show of confidence from his colleagues to defeat what he calls a misguided effort. Severe weather, including possible tornadoes, moving through Maury County, Tennessee. Right now, there have also been reported tornadoes in Missouri. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen.
This will all continue right on through the evening and into the nighttime hours, which is a very, very dangerous situation. Make sure you have a way to get your warnings even while you're sleeping.
The tornado threat this evening stretches from Springfield, Missouri to Nashville, Tennessee. An outside review of the federal agency tasked with maintaining stability in America's banking system has found FDIC employees were subject to a hostile and abusive work environment. CBS's John Dickerson.
A report citing complaints from more than 500 employees found numerous instances of sexual harassment and discrimination, calling it a patriarchal, insular, and risk-averse culture. One employee said the agency's response to misconduct is to, quote, pay, promote, or move them.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Biden in Wisconsin Wednesday touting Microsoft's new investment and his own economic record in Racine. The president reminding voters Donald Trump and Foxconn promised 13,000 new jobs in the area but never delivered.
3,500 total jobs left Wisconsin during my predecessor's term. But that's not on my watch.
Biden says he's created more jobs than Trump and nearly $1 trillion in private sector investment across the country. Vice President Kamala Harris returns to Wisconsin next week. It will be her fourth visit to Wisconsin this year. Harris plans to be in Milwaukee a week from tomorrow to call attention to the administration's efforts to boost the economy with steps like student loan debt forgiveness and support for education. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The crew is coming home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up a road trip. They open a four-game set tomorrow against the St. Louis Cardinals at American Family Field in Milwaukee. The Brewers with a dramatic come-from-behind win last night when Willie Adames comes up with a three-run homer, a called shot in front of Royals fans to win 6-5 in KC. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I mean, that's playing all nine. When you play all nine, you got a chance every pitch, and it came down to the last pitch. I mean, it was like, did I just see that? It was a cool moment.
NFL, the Packers' regular season schedule, not to be released now until sometime next week, maybe Wednesday, May 15th. The Packers hoping to improve even more on offense.
You're always, always looking to take the next step. You have to keep evolving, and so it's just a matter of what's our best next step.
That's Packers offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloud cover thickens for tonight with some showers around and lows in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, more rain, more clouds, and highs in the low 50s. We're finally back into sunshine on Friday. It warms up into the low 60s. It's 60 right now.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese for National Lost Sock Memorial Day and talk to a longstanding Wisconsin sock maker. Paul Noonan with sports, Brittany Merlot with weather and wine. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Mattenair on air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me cup, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air American Indian Relations.
Pini Gigi there too, Jean. It's always good to be right once a day here, and I appreciate that. Hey, you know, we are always so excited to host these monthly conversations in partnership with Minneapolis to discuss American Indian relations within the city, especially during the month of May, which is American Indian Month in Minnesota. So I want to pass off the show, as we do once a month, to Christine McDonald, and we are about to start American Indian Relations Minneapolis Air. Welcome our host, guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you so much, Robert. And say bonjour, hum, about Yapi. I am Christine McDonald. I am the American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis, and I'm your host today. I am bringing our first interview on. We want to welcome Daniel LaCroix and David Carson, who are two members of Minneapolis's one of our newest employee resource groups, and it is called MAIN, which stands for Minneapolis American Indian Network. And let's start by asking you guys to tell us a little bit about yourselves. You need to go with David first.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for allowing me to be here in this space. My name is Captain David Carson. I'm a staff captain with the Minneapolis Fire. I've been with the fire department 11 years this month. My job entails teaching fire safety to youth and adults alike, along with ESL individuals. And I'm going out and doing some recruitment. I also do some other programs called CERT, like a community engagement team as well. That's pretty much about myself. Community member.
What does CERT stand for?
A community engagement resource team.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah.
Daniel, how about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Hi. Thanks, Christine, for having us on. My name is Daniel LaCroix. I've been a city employee now for 19 years, coming this June, and I'm currently a housing inspector. My role entails making sure that renters have safe and dignified housing. I am also on the governing council of MAIN, and I'm in, an enrolled member of the Siston Wapanoag Oyate, and I'm also a Spirit Lake Dakota. I was first born on the south side of Minneapolis, but when I was very young, my family moved over north, where I was raised and lived my entire life. I currently live over north in the Weber Camden neighborhood, where I chair the Weber Camden neighborhood organization.
Great, thank you. One of the things that it was important to bring you guys on the show today, because it is American Indian Month, and I just wanted to share a little bit about the different things that Natives do as they work for the city of Minneapolis. And so I know for myself, like working for the city of Minneapolis was not initially on my radar. My grandma kept telling me, you should go down to the city and take that civil service test. And I just kept thinking, no, that just does not sound fun. But when I finally started looking at working for the city, I was really surprised and happy to find out like how big it was, how many different departments there are, and the different kinds of jobs. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious for either of you, like, was there like a specific journey that you had to become an employee with the city, or was it just something somebody like surprised, hey, you should come do this, and you did it? And start with David. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a pretty good one. First of all, I'd like to make an addition or clean up about what CERT stands for. It's Community Emergency Response Team. I think I said resource team. I'm sorry. I misspoke late in the day. my journey started when I was 6 years old. I wanted to be a firefighter. Life happens. I didn't achieve the goal till almost 40 years later. So I got on the department when I was 46 years old. So a childhood dream. I'm living my childhood dream. I like to tell people when I do tell my story that I spoke it to existence, meaning I told everybody and their mama I was going to be a firefighter, including my kids as a single parent. And it came to pass. It came to a flourishing after a dream I had. But yeah, living my childhood dream. I was in the stations for 7 years prior to this promotion that I currently have now.
That's excellent. Thank you. Daniel?
Yeah. So for me, I honestly just heard through a friend that the city was hiring, took that test.
Which test did you take?
Like the physical agility. So when I started, it was in solid waste.
Okay.
So I had to take like this physical agility test and a written test where you're ranked or whatever. And eventually I was called, and man, it's been almost 19 years now.
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine not being a city employee. And when I was at the age of being onboarded with the city, my dad unfortunately was working in the private sector and went through some turbulent times and ended up with his pension taken away. And so I was looking for, not pension, but 401k. And I was kind of looked at that and wanted the most stable situation that I could find. And so I just, you know, that's where and how my journey with the city of Minneapolis began. And nothing to regret from that decision. So
I think it's pretty cool. So like to think about, so David, you said 11 years with fire, but I know you've also were at the city of Minneapolis before you were in fire. What is your total city?
A total of 15 years.
15
total.
Years.
Yeah.
I mean, so years. We are like, we're the few of us are like long-term city employees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So 15 years, 19 years, and myself, I'm like at 25 or 26 years, something like that. So it's a great place to have a career.
It really is.
And like I mentioned, this is just like, because it's Indian Month, I wanted to give some insight to the audience about some of the different jobs that we do here at the city of Minneapolis. We might not be like strong in number, but we are mighty in people. You know, we have a good group of folks. I was around for the start of MAIN, the Minneapolis American Indian Network, but I can't remember, like, Daniel, do you know how many employees that we have who participate in MAIN?
Right now, currently we have about 25.
Oh, cool.
And that's including a few allies, you know, because a lot of times, you know, it's a heavy lift. So it's good to have allies.
It is. It really is. Do you want to tell us what Maine is?
Yeah. So Maine is an ERG, we call it. It's an employee resource group made up of Native employees and allies that aim to support Native American employees and initiatives like advancing, retaining, and onboarding Indigenous folks to the enterprise, and really bring a sense of community to Native employees and have a safe place to be and talk and be together. And it's really important to find members of your community in such a big enterprise, you know? What Maine's functions are invaluable in my perspective.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to take a break here. This is live Minneapolis Air with our host, Christine. We'll be right back after this short break.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis, and here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
And welcome back. Again, we're talking with the Employee Resource Group with the City of Minneapolis, Minneapolis American Indian Network. And get right back into our questions. Daniel, can you tell us why did city employees create this employee resource group?
I think Maine was created out of the need to support Native employees, to ensure that Native employees have a community in which they feel safe and supported and listened to within the enterprise. Like I touched on before, it's a big enterprise and our numbers aren't the largest. So to organize and make sure we're taking care of each other is important. And we also know representation matters. And so it's important to have a Native perspective at the table to be heard. And I think Maine is a conductor for that.
That's awesome. Thank you. Can you let us know a little bit more what an ERG is?
Yeah. So ERGs are groups of communities that come together to bring a sense of belonging and to be a voice for the communities they represent. They are support systems for sometimes historically marginalized groups who are employees of the city of Minneapolis, because, you know, the city of Minneapolis is like a microcosm of you know, the bigger scheme of things. So,
yeah, I think it adds a little more context. I think there's something like 4,000, more than 4,000 employees at the city of Minneapolis. Yeah. And I'm not even sure what the total number of Native employees mm-hmm. are right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it's close to the 1%, just like our population is in Minneapolis, you know?
Yeah, it usually does stay close to that number. Mm-hmm. I mean, so on one hand, we are representing the community that we serve, but I would mm-hmm. always love to see and have more people from our community join us here mm-hmm. at the city.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, how about David? Can you tell us what does Maine mean to you?
Oh.
Having a collective voice, I think, is super important. I think since we all come from different tribes, we got a different perspective, but we're all pretty much one when we stick together. I don't know. I think I was honored when I was asked to carry the city employee banner for the kickoff of Indian Month, and I know we've been doing it for many years, but just this year it felt good because a lot of the Maine, we all stuck together and walked together in one unit.
Yep, that's great. Thank you, Daniel.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, David, for mentioning that. Like, we all may come from different tribes, but when we come together, we are one. So thank you for that. Maine ensures to me what Maine means and what Maine is it ensures the Native perspective is heard by having a seat at the table in conversations that may impact Native employees. Maine is that support system that Native employees can lean on and look to for help navigating being a Native employee in such a big enterprise. It means that we have a home for us to let our guards down and have community with each other. I think we do great things with the events that we hold, and I just couldn't be more thankful.
That's amazing. Thank you. You know, so I've been around since it first started, and we were having conversations about the need for an employee resource group before the city put into action creating the groups for all the different ones that have come together. And it's been interesting to see a couple of our community members come and go, but it's also been great to connect with other long-term employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it can be a challenging place to work, especially over the past few years.
Yeah.
But sticking with it and being able to work for the city and be a support, not just for each other in the city, but in our community as well. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I just got to reiterate that representation matters. And I want to thank you guys for being long-term employees at the city.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to go on to our next question, and it's for David. Can you tell our audience a bit more about working with the fire department?
The fire department, you know, our main function is to save lives, protect life and property and the environment during emergencies. In addition to provide the residents of the city of Minneapolis medical services, so like being a first responder, usually the first ones on the scene, we really support the paramedics, but having 19 stations, we're able to respond a lot quicker most times. And then we also work closely with MPD for anything that might be, such as violence. When we show up, we're usually staging to make sure we are safe. And we enter a scene like that. We do a lot. I mean, we have the majority, I want to say, is 80% of what we go to is medical calls, but we do fire as well. Also hazardous materials, confined spaces, water and river rescue. Working for the Minneapolis Fire Department, the bare minimum requirements is 18. a driver's license and be able to work in the United States. That's the bare minimum for a career. We work as firefighters, we work a 24-hour shift beginning at 8 a.m. and ending at 8 a.m. The following day, or it could be a two-day shift. Firefighter, we're on duty an average of 10 days a month, which equals out to be about 107, 109 days a year, including weekends and holidays. And our starting salary this year is $73,000 annually.
That's amazing. I think I said it on the last show, and I'm going to say it again. My aunt was one of the first female firefighters, first Native female firefighters on the department. I really, I don't know if I said it before. My career with the city started in the Human Resources Department, and that's how me and David got to be friends. And so we would do the whole application and testing and all of that. So the next question then is, how can people learn more about careers in the fire department?
Go to our website and then click on job alerts. We have an application process that opens up every year. But besides just our firefighter application, we also have a program called Pathways for 14 to 20 year olds. I would like to say that's more of a hands-on, two times a month, usually a Wednesday and a Saturday, twice a month. Kind of considered as the Pathways program gives you all the hands-on experience as a firefighter without the patient touch or care, but it's also a competition between other Pathway programs throughout the metro and throughout the state, where you compete about doing certain things that you have learned. We also have EMS Pathways that you can also sign up for if that's something you'd like to do. That's a paid student internship. Usually comes around during the spring, but we start recruiting for it around January as well. That one is where you earn your emergency medical technician certification state and nationally. There's no cost to apply. Selected participants, usually groups of 20, are paid currently at $17 an hour. It's a 12-week program. And then that's where the EMS Pathways come from.
That's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Daniel, what has been your experience working for the city?
My experience working for the city has been overall good. Working for the city brought stability to my life when I was at the age where the only thing that is certain is, like, things aren't uncertain, you know, things are very uncertain. And so it brought stability to my life when I needed it most. I have experienced a progression in policy and practices throughout the years that have become more equitable in how, in regard to how employees are treated and how the enterprise treats the residents. So it's encouraging to be a part of something that isn't harmful, but fruitful.
Yeah, that's great. Do you have any advice for people who might be interested in working for the city as a housing inspector?
Yeah, I mean, I would say as a city employee, in general, don't wait. Don't wait for anything. If you have the opportunity to be a city employee, take that leap. You know, being a housing inspector, you know, if you value community and public service, definitely apply. But there's many facets of the city of Minneapolis, you know, so get your foot in the door wherever you can. I have had a long journey. You know, I started with solid waste and I'm here now as a housing inspector and couldn't be happier.
Thank you. I think it's really important. And I just put it together right now. Like, the three of us all have, like, front-faced, outward-facing positions. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about representation matters, you know.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. CBS News Brief. The mayor of Columbia, Tennessee, confirms one person has died after a number of sightings of tornado touchdowns there. On Broadcastify.com, out of Spring Hill, Tennessee, more severe weather.
There's subjects trapped with one person with a broken arm.
With storm damage in Maury County, Tennessee, schools will be closed tomorrow. The White House confirms that the Pentagon has paused a bomb shipment to Israel over concerns of a possible attack on Rafah. CBS's Margaret Brennan says of President Biden,
he's trying to signal U.S. support may not be unequivocal when it comes to how Israel uses U.S. taxpayer-funded weapons.
Upset that House Speaker Mike Johnson helped Democrats pass a foreign aid package, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene forced a vote to oust him, but failed. Speaker Johnson responded,
hopefully this is the end of the personality politics and the frivolous character assassination that has defined the 118th Congress.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A federal appeals court is clearing the way for a high-voltage power line through a nature refuge in southwest Wisconsin. Conservation groups sued to try to stop the line from Dubuque to Middleton. About a mile of it would cross the Upper Mississippi River National Wildlife and Fish Refuge near Cassville. Democrats say Republicans are playing games with millions of dollars for PFAS cleanup statewide and health care in the Chippewa Valley. Senate Minority Leader Dianne Hesselbein.
It means that communities from Peshtigo to French Island are still waiting to help clean up their water. And it means that more people won't be getting the health care services they need.
The Joint Finance Committee Tuesday did approve spending $36 million in opioid settlement money. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Bruce Springsteen movie project, Deliver Me From Nowhere, is picking up steam. Jeremy Allen White will play the boss, and Jeremy Strong is in talks to play the man behind the boss, manager John Landau. The film is centered around the making of Springsteen's 1982 critically acclaimed album, Nebraska. The film is being adapted from the book, Deliver Me From Nowhere, The Making of Bruce Springsteen's Nebraska by Warren Zanes. Jeremy Strong is best known for playing Sebastian Roy in the HBO hit Succession. Shaquille O'Neal raised some eyebrows when he posted a message on Instagram saying, "I understand. I wouldn't have been in love with me either. Wishing you all the best. All love, Shaq." Social media speculators were out in force, saying it was probably in response to his ex-wife, Shawnee Henderson's new memoir. Shaq and Shawnee have four children together. I promise you, I tried really hard to make a free throw joke here, but it just didn't fit. Hang in there, Shaq. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloud cover thickens for tonight with some showers around and lows in the upper 40s. For tomorrow, more rain, more clouds, and highs in the low 50s. We're finally back into sunshine on Friday. It warms up into the low 60s. It's 60 right now.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I went to go see The Queen of My Dreams, which is a beautiful film about a mother-daughter relationship. So funny, so beautiful, so heartfelt. Would highly recommend it.
And that concludes our Monday morning segment of Here's How Pat Kreitlow is an Uncultured Slob. You are cultured, man. You are a big old cup of yogurt over there. I mean, we're talking some fruit on the bottom over there.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Busted Pencils. Fully leaded education talk.
When you have a fully funded privatized voucher system, Heather, help us out.
Wisconsin has made a choice to disinvest from the public good and put money into a wholly unaccountable system and just let their political cronies laugh all the way to the bank while our kids pay the price.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian, actor, and Wisconsin native Eric Price, and the group Onstage for Cancer stops by to perform live in the studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis. With Minneapolis Air, here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Thank you so much for coming back with us today. I am Christine McDonald. I'm the guest host today, and I am loving how this is going to roll right into each other. We talked with previously we're talking with employees with our employee resource group, spent a bit of time talking about what they do for the city of Minneapolis, what brought them in, why they wanted to work. And so we're going to continue with a topic about the city and about jobs, or better yet, having a career at the City of Minneapolis. And the City of Minneapolis Human Resources Department does plan to help residents get on that journey by bringing job opportunities and tips into the community. And so joining us now to talk about that is a very special guest, Dorothy Jackson, who is a recruiter with the city's HR department.
Thank you so much for having me, Christine and Haley. I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to be on radio for the first time with you all. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Do you want to tell us what you do as a recruiter for the City of Minneapolis?
Okay, so as a recruiter for the City of Minneapolis, I'm responsible for attracting and retaining talent into the City of Minneapolis. This includes promoting upcoming career and internship opportunities, providing support to potential applicants, also providing information that's very vital in the whole entire recruitment process. I'm also kind of woven into my fabrics a community engagement piece where I connect with underrepresented communities about getting the word out there, not just through social media, but I do this through career fairs and going to community events.
Can you tell us, how did you start working in local government?
So I started as a youth worker some years ago. Excuse me?
I said, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I started as a city step-up kid, ironically. So I didn't have a traditional background into HR. So I was a step-up kid, and once the summer was over, I'm like 18, and my internship was going to end. So I was like, I can't afford to not have a job, and I can't go straight to college. So I actually advocated for myself to stay on in their HR department. At the time, I was making a minimum wage, and my friends were making like 13 bucks an hour. And I was like, I can leave here or I can stay with this opportunity. So I stayed. I actually got placed at the Minneapolis Park Board. I stayed there for some years, which gave me that government experience. Then I was able to go to Ramsey County for several years. And my father was a Minneapolis firefighter from 93 to 2017. Wow. Yeah. And he passed in 2022. So I applied on a whim, and the city HR called me back and I got an interview. Then I got a second interview and I was like, okay, this is a sign and a spiritual symbol for me to go ahead and take it. So I've been with the city for about a year now, but I started with the government just as a youth worker in one of the programs.
That is so amazing. I love to hear that. That's one of the things I don't think we really, I haven't had the opportunity to promote enough, is the opportunity to come into the city through Step Up. We also have, I can't remember, what's the other name? The Urban Scholars. So I'm loving, this is amazing. I'm really happy to hear that that's how you started your career in public service.
Yes.
So what kind of job opportunities can a job seeker find at the city?
So there are lots of opportunities at the city. We've got some entry levels and some professional levels. There are 28 departments at the city. So of course the bigger ones include, people automatically think of Public Works and the Minneapolis Police Department, Minneapolis Fire Department, Regulatory Services. And a lot of those help, you know, our cities run with a lot of the day-to-day functions. But there are a lot of other departments that are just as important and key. You should know, Christine, the Neighborhood, Community Relations, Civil Rights, myself and Human Resources, we post jobs. Mm-hmm. And there are different levels. 911 call takers is something that I always highlight because we frequently post that, and that's one of our entry-level jobs. You just have to have a high school diploma and I think 1 year of experience and be able to type 35 words per minute. Some people have started as 911 call takers and have been able to move around either in public safety or to move around in the city. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of different opportunities. Like, I mean, there are even positions in tech and IT that are entry level or professional level.
Yeah. I don't think I mentioned this before, but so I've been with the city like 26 years, something like that. My first 13 years were actually in the human resources department. Okay. So I am really familiar. And that's how me and David became friends. I did the whole process for the fire department, for the application to the written test, to the physical agility test, to the structured interviews. And I think one of the things that I was leery about starting to look for a job at the city was this civil service test. And the fact that I thought it was like one test. In fact, that's what my grandma told me, go take that test, go take that civil service test. And when I actually started working for the city in human resources, finding out that the civil service test is like a different test for each job. And it is really relevant to that job that you're applying for. So they're not all as intense as testing for fire or testing for police. Some of them really are just like structured interviews. But let's see. So let's talk about this new initiative. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say. Okay. When I was there, we would really talk about different ways to get people into the city. And like pipeline jobs. And I think the best example of that is like fire. Like he mentioned, it's minimum qualifications. Basically, you gotta be 18 and be able to have a driver's license. And then you get brought on. And the city then pays for you while you learn the book piece, the education piece to be a firefighter. And then they pay you to teach you the physical pieces to be a firefighter.
Right.
So not all of the jobs at the city do you have to come in with the skills right away. And I think people, it's important that they know that. And so that they go through the openings that we have and look at the different requirements that are needed. And so with that, can you tell us more about this new initiative that's been created to help residents get job ready for a career? Yes. What is this HR Bridges Level Up of Your Career?
So as a recruiter, I could have sat behind my desk and just recruited from LinkedIn or from like Facebook, or Indeed. But I saw that we have local talent right here in our neighborhoods or in the metro area or just in Minnesota or Minneapolis, period. So I kind of wanted to incorporate like an outreach piece. A lot of people will reach out to me with recruiter with questions about the application process. Our application process is not very linear. You know that it's very unique. So I wanted to open up an opportunity for an event on May 22nd between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. HR will be in the community. We'll be partnering with the Career Force Center Northside, which is 800 West Broadway, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55411. At this event, HR will be present providing interview tips and tricks. We'll also be doing resume review and cover letter review and giving you advice on that. We will be providing free professional headshots and a free lunch. And then on top of that, there will be hiring managers directly there that you can kind of meet and talk to. And then they also have a computer lab. So if you wanted to go fill out an application, there will be someone from HR there to help you troubleshoot any of the applications or just give you a whole overview of our process, understanding the testing, answering the supplemental questionnaire. What does being on an eligible list mean? You know, should I apply again or just maybe getting some questions answered of an email of somebody that you sent a while back, just to get an understanding, to be more transparent about our process. We can't just hire whoever we want. So I wanted to give this this opportunity to be a resource to the community. So again, that's May 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a 100% free event. It's at 800 West Broadway, Minneapolis, Minnesota at the Career Force Center.
Thank you. It's a really important event and I hope it is gets well attended. Thinking about all of the different things that you're bringing out to community, the headshots, the tips, interview tips. One thing that I want to bring up, like it was like one of the most memorable times for me, events for me when I was in HR. We were recruiting for a traffic control agent and I had this gentleman call me And he was telling me, I really want to apply for this job. It fits in with what I'm doing right now. And he was going through and telling me all of his experience. And I'm like, yeah, that really sounds like it would be a good fit for you and that you have a lot of experience to bring in. And this is back when we were having like paper applications.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. So I happened to be standing out front at our, at the receptionist desk at the time. And he came in and he dropped his application off. I'm like, okay, well, let me just take a look at this real quick for you. And this is the importance of being able to convey in writing your experience. As I looked at his application and everything he told me was missing. And so it's like, oh, wow. based on what he had put in writing, he would have probably not moved on to the next part of the process. And so I told him that. I said, we talked on the phone and you told me all of these things. And so I gave him the opportunity to take his application back and put in all the things he had told me on the phone. And I think that it's important to share that because people don't realize, like, I can tell you what I do, but they might not be good at putting on paper because it really is like that first screening process. That's what's going to determine whether or not you move forward in the application process. And he ended up getting hired and he sent me a thank you note. And he was like first generation resident from Somalia. And he's like, you don't understand what this does for me and my family and how I can be a role model for my kids. And I'm just like, I was like crying about it. But this is a really important event. And I'm really glad that you were able to come on today and tell me more about it. I do believe we're going to move on to a quick break and we'll come back again.
Christine, you're a pro. Good one. She's segueing us to the next commercial. Hey, we're with Minneapolis Air, Minneapolis American Indian Relations. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Ho-wa.
Ho-wa.
Attention, Native American community. As we prepare for American Indian Celebration Month in Minnesota this May, it's essential to prioritize the health and safety of our communities. With social gatherings and festivities on the horizon, getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is crucial. So let's make getting vaccinated a tradition, inclusive and cross-generational. Imagine gatherings filled with shared stories and cultural celebrations free from the shadow of COVID-19. Remember, protecting yourself and others is what counts. Whether it's time for an updated vaccine or your first shot, all COVID-19 vaccines offer protection, with the latest vaccine especially recommended for our elders over 65. As we gather with friends and relatives this May for American Indian Celebration Month, let's ensure everyone's safety by getting vaccinated. Together, we can uphold our traditions and keep our communities thriving. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. This is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the City of Minneapolis with Minneapolis Air. Here's our guest host, Christine McDonald.
Good evening, and thank you for coming back to the, with us. Christine McDonald, American Indian Community Specialist with the City of Minneapolis. Dorothy, before we jump back into our conversation, can you again just tell our listeners about the HR Bridges event that's going to be happening?
Yes. So to reiterate again, the HR Bridges Level Up Your Career event is going, this is the first one. It's going to be piloted. It's going to be Northside. We do have tentative dates in the spring. We just want to get this one knocked out. I mean, in the fall, we just want to, that's going to be Southside. We just want to get this one knocked out. So this isn't going to be the only one. It's going to be Wednesday, May 22nd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. It is a community event. It's 100% free. You can come in and meet directly with city hiring managers and HR professionals. We're going to be doing resume review, interview tips and tricks. We're also going to provide free professional headshots for your LinkedIn or personal or professional use. And also, it's going to be a free lunch on us. So anytime before that window, you don't have to sign up. Just come in. And even if you just want the free lunch, that's okay. If you just want to come and talk, that's fine. You don't have to utilize all the
resources. For lunch.
Just come on. We're gonna have boxed lunches for everyone.
Beautiful. Thank you. So back to our conversation. So why does the HR department want to bring HR Bridges and job tips and techniques into the community?
Well, we work for the city. So all of our work, when you sign on to become a city employee, you kind of make a promise to the residents of Minneapolis. No matter what you do, even if it's, you think it's like back facing work, it affects someone's day-to-day life. So as a recruiter, some of my friends that are recruiters in the private sector, they don't have to go out to these events. I think our presence is important because we have talent in our city. They just don't know. A lot of people don't know about the opportunities, or they don't, you know, there were a lot of barriers 30 years ago and they haven't tried in a while and don't know that we're really trying to get talent in. Also, some people, you know, they don't know of all the departments or know that they can even work there. I don't have a college degree, and I had to use my equivalencies and my lived in skills to apply to a job, but I had an HR pass. If someone doesn't, it's like, we need to be able to get that information out there. So just being transparent about our process, and a lot of people ask these questions after the fact, after they don't get a job or don't get an interview. So I was trying to be proactive, like, what if you got the resources before so we can prepare you for these applications and for these interviews? And even if you don't get a job with us, fine, as long as we help you and give you some resources that you can use somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't remember if I mentioned it in our previous segment or a couple of segments before, but like, the same thing, didn't realize how diverse the city was in jobs. My grandma kept saying, go take the civil service test. I'm like, nah, I don't think I want to work for the city. You know, you think of public servants and they're just kind of like, mom and grumpy and don't want to help you. And that's absolutely not true anymore. And just the different, like, we've got 28 different departments at the city of Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And how many different job titles are in there?
I think it's over 1,200, so 1,500 or something. Yep. So there are so many different ones that we use across the enterprise. So it's like, do people know this? If they think of city, they think of just the, you know, always the political pieces, but there a lot of our work is so meaningful, and people don't even know that they have a place there.
Yep, I agree. I'm a big advocate for getting people to work for the city of Minneapolis. So what can residents expect when they attend this HR Bridges event?
So, well, you can expect the energy to be electrifying because I'm going to be there.
I love it.
Fill out as much energy as possible. You can expect to maybe get some unanswered questions answered, walk away with some resources, put names to faces. So like, you may have heard, the recruiter, but I've never been able to meet with her. Or who are these people behind these job postings? What is it that you guys do? Who are these hiring managers? I saw a 911 call taker, but who works in this department? So you can kind of like step into our world a little bit, and we can kind of like connect and show you how, you know, an example of our workplace culture. And also you can get some questions answered without it, you know, you feeling it's going to penalize you for asking after the fact or before of any questions before submitting an application. So hopefully we'll be able to, what people can expect is a return on the investment, and they can get some gainful employment. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. I just talking about this, but I love doing recruitment. I really enjoyed being in HR. I think some of the things that I think about are, don't be scared away by the requirements. Mm-hmm. You know, you brought up the word equivalency. You know, a lot of the jobs that we have, there is an equivalency statement in there. Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to have that degree in that specific field. If you've been doing the work, it's worth it. Don't tell, let them tell you no,
right,
is what I like to say. Go ahead, put the application in if you're interested in it. I think going to the HR Bridges event would be a good opportunity for folks who kind of just thought, I don't know about working for the city. I just advise you, go check it out. Check out some of the different job titles, the different vacancies that are there. Look at the job announcements. Don't get scared off by what the requirements say, because a lot of times there is the opportunity to put in as an as a equivalency, because people have a lot of gifts to offer, a lot of talent to offer to come and work for the city. So the first HR Bridges is being held over north. So is it just for residents on the north side?
No, so this is open to any and everyone. You can be north side, south side, St. Paul. It's literally a resource for everyone. I live in St. Paul now. Don't tell anybody. But so it's
between
me. Just between us. So it's for everyone. The first one is at that Career Force Center on Broadway, but the second one will be Southside. So hopefully this is well received and beneficial to the community. It's something that we can do routinely, and we don't have to do it, you know, twice a year. It can be something that we offer, just give an example, every third Thursday of the month. Mm-hmm. So this is just the pilot. This is where we started. That's the neighborhood that I was born in. So I started there, and I'm not going to finish there. We're gonna touch everybody, but everyone is welcome.
Excellent. So you can find your way over to the north side and join the HR Bridges event. Here's one of the things that I want to know about, because I know what they are and I know how good they are. For those that are looking to become a city employee, what are some of the benefits of working for the city of Minneapolis?
Some of the benefits are, of course, we have really great healthcare options. you guys know we work here. We also have paid parental leave, which is a plus. Yep. I think it's up to 12 weeks.
Yeah, that wasn't there when I started. So it's new. Yeah, it's good.
Paid parental leave. We have career development opportunities. And also we touched on the employee resource groups, yep. The ERGs. Maine is one of them. I'm part of MBIN, the Minneapolis Black Employee Network, and our talent acquisition unit just took over the ERG groups. And we're planning to do some really like magical things over there. Not just that, it's a supportive environment. You can move around if you'd like. You don't have to just stay siloed in one department. There are lots of opportunities that open. You can also check us out online if you go to www.cityofminneapolis.com, and you can type in the search bar benefits. It can give you a full overview of our benefits.
All right, thank you. What was I just going to say? So one of the benefits I think you touched on a little bit was the ability to move around the city. Mm-hmm. That was me. I mentioned I started in the Human Resources Department, and actually the job that I'm in now as the American Indian Community Specialist, it's had different names. It's been at the city. This position has existed for more than 50 years. It originated in the mayor's office, and I don't think that we share enough that the city has a legacy of relationship and engagement with the American Indian community. But this is the only other position in the city outside of human resources that I wanted to do. And so having that ability to move around has benefited me, and I know it's benefited a few other folks that I've been friends with across the enterprise. So I really want to thank you. It has been a joy to have you on the show tonight. And I was really surprised and happy to see how it kind of just wove together, talking about the ERG and then talking about job opportunities at the city. And I hope to see you one more time quickly, the event.
May 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., 800 West Broadway. It's a Wednesday. There's on-the-street parking. Come and eat. Come and get some resources. I'll be there. Hope to see you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Great show, Christine. Native Roots Radio presents American Air. We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Harry everybody join us next time as we celebrate nurses, the people that take care of us. It's National Nurses Week. Tune in. We'll join you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.